Blog Talk Radio.
Rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and the wisdom of God's Word. Let us start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name, for this is the day that you have made, and we're rejoicing to be glad in it. Father God, as I get ready to deliver your word, Father God, let it come with intent. Let it move with purpose. Let it have an impact, Father God, that moves the hearts of many. Father God, let me decrease and let the Holy Spirit increase to illuminate your word in a mighty way, like a rushing wind, Father God, that it pierce into the souls and the hearts of those who are listening. We thank you, Father God, you continue to bless us to grow in you, mature in you, and walk in you. And more than anything, we, Father God, we grow to into love, because you are love, and this is what we want to do. We want to be able to show the love that you've shown us to others through the development of your word. We thank you, we praise you, and we glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, I'm excited about this week because God is good. God has been so wonderful this week in so many ways. There have been a lot of things that have happened through the week for people I've talked to, but God still comes through all the time. Well, I like to start with a quote. And ladies, if there are any women listening to the sound of my voice, this is significant. From the age of 5 all the way up to the seasonal ages, this here quote is, I think, significant. And it's by Kristen Ditchfield. And it goes like this. By God's grace, I'm becoming a woman of courage, a woman of strength, a woman of self-discipline, a woman of diligence, a woman of wisdom and discernment, a woman of compassion, a woman of beauty, true beauty, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, a woman who loves much because she has been forgiven much, a woman who takes refuge in God alone, a woman of valor who does not run from the battle, but to it, fearlessly, relentlessly, determined through her obedience to defeat the enemy and bring victory to herself and her people, to the glory of God and his eternal kingdom. And the scripture says in Proverbs 31:10, an excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. And in Proverbs 31:25, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. And in Ruth 3:11, now my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask, for all my people in the city knows that you are a woman of excellence. Now I'm reminded of a story about the power of women, a woman's intuition. One day, three men were hiking through the jungles when they came across a violent, raging river. They had no idea how to cross, so the first man decided to pray. He said, please, God, give me the strength to cross this river. And immediately, he grew enormous muscles in his arms and legs, and he managed to swim across the river in a couple of hours, nearly drowning twice. The second man saw this, and he prayed, please, Lord, give me the strength and the tools to cross this river. A boat appeared from nowhere, and he battled across the river in an hour, nearly capsizing twice. Now the third man saw this, and he prayed, please, God, Give me the strength and the tools and the intelligence to cross this river. Immediately, he turned into a woman. She looked at a map, walked upstream 100 yards, crossed over the bridge to the other side. The moral of the story is, being a woman is a gift, and no woman shouldn't believe otherwise. Now, our show of the day is a continuation of developing oneself to be what one seeks in someone else. But this is the woman's journey. Now, we spoke in some detail about some of the things that men could do to be the person that they seek in someone else. However, now we're going to move forward to some of the amazing attributes that women may want to consider in their development of becoming what they seek in someone else for themselves. Now, in the fairy tale Snow White, there was an evil queen who would ask the magic mirror, "Who is the fairest in the land?" And the magic mirror would quote, "You, my queen, are fair so true." However, the evil queen wasn't satisfied with this response. And as most of us know the story, the evil queen proceeded to make an attempt to ensure that she would be the fairest or the most beautiful in the land by putting poor Snow White in a deep sleep. Afterwards, she asked the magic mirror on the wall again, "Who now is the fairest of one of all?" The magic mirror responded, "Over the seven hills, beyond the seven falls, in the cottage of the seven dwarfs dwells Snow White, fairest one of all." The evil queen would respond with anger, "Snow White lies dead in the forest. My husband brought proof to me." Now, even after she got the report, she wasn't satisfied. Now, the question comes to mind, why was the evil queen so preoccupied with Snow White's beauty? Wasn't the idea that she was queen good enough, even though she was evil? Now, let's examine a story from the Bible which relates to someone else, where they didn't seem to think of themselves as good enough and took drastic action towards someone else in an attempt to validate their worth. In Genesis 4, 1 through 8, it goes, The man lay with his wife Eve, and she was going to have a child, and she gave birth to Cain. She said, "I've given birth to the man with the help of the Lord." Next, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel was the keeper of the sheep, but Cain was the one who worked the ground. The day came when Cain brought gift of fruit of the ground to the Lord, but Abel brought a gift of the firstborn of his flock and of the fat parts. The Lord showed favor to Abel and his gift, but he had no respect for Cain and his gift. So Cain became very angry, and his face became sad. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why are you looking down? Will not your face be happy if you do well? If you do not do well, sin waiting to destroy you. It desires to rule over you, but you must rule over it." Cain told this to his brother, and when he was in the field, Cain stood up against his brother, Abel, and killed him. And I have one more story of someone else who wasn't satisfied with God provide for them. In Genesis 3:6, the fall. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made him. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the tree in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil." When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took and ate of it. Now, let me say, even though the stories are different, even the gender in the stories were different, I like to point out one common theme here. Each was deceived by the trick of the devil. For one a beauty, one wanted recognition, another had the lust of the eye. And Satan has one common theme or objective that he goes out for, which is to kill, steal, and destroy God's children. However, I like to present one key point as a foundation for our women, especially today, for our men as well. But my focus in this series is for our women to become the best they can be, but not just for what you want in someone else, but for what you should want within yourself. Therefore, the theme that exists in each of these stories was each individual lacked one key quality, self-esteem. And as I lay out this foundation for this series, my hope is that the Holy Spirit will illuminate this point in order that any woman under the sound of my voice begins to see what God put in you is all you need to become you. Now, I'm reminded of a book called Becoming Michelle Obama, which is an excellent book. It was an excellent book. She created a great opening point for women to strive to be the best that they God intended for them to be. But I'd like to state in Becoming, Shirley, Emma, Lisa, Teresa is equally important. Why? Because God is no respecter of person. When he made you, his word stated this in Psalms 139:14. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelously are your works, and that my soul knows you well. So in the process of this, I came up with an acronym. As we move forward, this will be applicable later on down the road. And it's called PACE, your PACE through your journey. P stands for preparation. You have to prepare. And you have to study God's word. A is for attitude. You have to have the right attitude, the right mindset. And C, you have to commit. And as you commit onto God's word and his plan for your life, you can have E, which is the right expectation from God to believe that he will fulfill the plan he begun in you. So we talked about self-esteem. So now let's look at one of the key leading experts in the field of self-esteem. His name is Nathan Brandon. Now, he was discussing this topic 40 years prior before it became the household word in our society today. And I want to elaborate. As I said, I'm laying out this foundation because this is going to be significant because our young women are struggling out here. Our men too, but again, my focus is on the women. Nathan Brandon says this, self-esteem is an experience. It is a particular way of experiencing the self. It is a good deal more than a mere feeling. This must be stressed. He says that it involves emotional, evaluative, and cognitive components. It also entails certain actions and disposition. To move towards life rather than away from it. To move towards consciousness rather than away from it. To treat fact with respect rather than denial. To operate self-responsibly rather than the opposite. He continues on to say that self-esteem is a disposition to experience oneself as being competent to cope with the basic challenges of life and of being worthy of happiness. It is the confidence in the effectiveness of our mind and our ability to think. By extension, it is the confidence in our ability to learn, make appropriate choices and decisions, respond effectively to change. It also is an experience that success, achievement, fulfillment, happiness are right and natural for us. The survival value of such confidence is obvious, so it is a danger when it is missing. Because you see, self-esteem is not a euphoria or buoyancy that may be temporarily induced by drugs, compliment, or love affairs. And I want to harp on that, love affairs. Sometimes our women find themselves losing their self-esteem because they're more involved in someone else than themselves. It is not an illusion or hallucination. If it is not grounded in reality, or if it's not built over time through appropriate operation of mind, this is not self-esteem. The root of our need for self-esteem is a need for the consciousness to learn to trust itself. And I'll add to this, to trust God and then ourselves. And the root of the need to learn such trust is the fact that consciousness is volitional, relating to the use of one's will. We have to choose to think or not to think. We control the switch that turns consciousness brighter or dimmer. We are not rational, that is, reality-focused automatically. This means that whether we learn to operate our mind in such a way as to make ourselves appropriate in life is ultimately the function of our choices. Do we strive for consciousness or for its opposite? Do we strive for rationality or reasonableness or its opposite? Or for coherence or soundness and clarity of their opposite? For truth or its opposite. Now we know about truth because it says in John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. So we know where the truth comes from. So in a nutshell, we need to be more aware of who we are, and as women, this can be a bit of a challenge since Satan has always provided a deceptive way to impede women's ability to truly identify with who God intended for them to be, and not for just and to not follow the way that God wants them to follow, but to follow the way the world wants them to follow. Case in point, what Satan is doing through many means to deceive us and deceive our women today, especially our young women. So it says that the beauty industry grosses over $250 billion a year, and this is based on cosmetic, skin, and hair care, which accounts for most of the consumption in the United States. It points out one entrepreneur who started this business, Mary Kay, that through her multi-level distribution network, she has involved 2 million entrepreneurs, mostly women, and it brings in $2.5 billion a year. And then the American Society of Plastic Surgery reveals that America spends more than $16 billion on cosmetic surgery today. So I looked up a dissertation from my school, and this young lady by the name of Anne Marie Brenton, her dissertation was titled "The Beauty Industry: Influence on Women in Society." She points out, and I quote, "There's been a significant amount of research done on the effects that advertising in fashion and beauty industry has on women. By creating advertising with unrealistic images of beauty, it has resulted in anxiety, low self-esteem, low self-confidence in many of the women. And most of these negative emotions relating to cosmetics and how this can have an influence on our women and how women can use these cosmetics to manipulate their appearance. And we see this all the time." And the digital marketing expert estimated that America are the most exposed to 4,000 to 10,000 ads a day. Now, if you took a quarter of that 4,000, you would be seeing 1,000 messages a day, and over a course of 300, you will receive 360,000 ads a year, which means that equates to millions and millions of similar little messages over a course of a lifetime. So it's very difficult for our women to know who they are, have a high level of self-esteem, if we follow the world's way. And as I said earlier, now I'm laying the foundation because our women are in a battle, just like men. If you're not aware of the battle, you're doomed to be defeated. You won't be able to see God's plan for you. You won't be able to become the person God intended for you to be. And just like Eve, if you're not prepared for this battle, you will be deceived by Satan. So let's look at what God's word says, Satan's intent, and how he uses it to his native language of lying. For he speaks through different resources, such as the evil rulers, like Charles Manson, who led women out to do harm, false religions, such as Jim Jones, who had a whole group of people wiped out, the social media, popular songs, and even some of those close to us. These deceptions from these foreign tongues originated from him. For in John 10:10, it said, "The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." So it's important that we take the time to lay this foundation, because if you don't know where you come from, you won't know really have a strong way of moving towards where you need to be. Many times we are getting so caught up in the deception and the illusions of the comparison and competitive society, a lot of our women get lost. And we see our young women today, they're altering their bodies in every form of fashion. That which God gave them or originated with them, it's not good enough, because they're always competing, always comparing themselves. They have the different entertainers who have altered their bodies and changed who they are. So therefore, that which you look in the mirror, you don't think is good enough because you compare yourself to them. And then this goes on and perpetuates itself because it becomes like a generational curse, because it goes from one generation to the next. And every generation, as they get modified through Satan's deception, through the different sources that he has, it continues to exacerbate itself. So it's important that we lay the strong foundation, and this is about building one's self-esteem, knowing who you are, having a plan for who you are. As I said earlier, you have to pace yourself. You have to prepare. And this is the foundation I'm laying now for the women series that I'm presenting, is that we lay this foundation because in doing this, we can build upon it. The word tells us that we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And this is a process. That's why I use the acronym PACE. It's a process. We have to pace ourselves. It's not going to happen overnight. If you happen to be 30 years old, you receive all these messages over a 30-year period. When I became 50, I realized that was 18,265 days that I've been on the planet. Now imagine all the negativity if I was listening to all these things, the impact that it had on me from a subliminal standpoint. And we accept this as okay. And this is what we see with our young kids today. I see young women, and I say young, I'm talking young as 7 to 10, and they're already altering their looks and changing them. And there's nothing wrong with, as I like to say, putting a little paint on the house to beautify it. But when it goes and it exacerbates itself, it becomes compromising to the individual. Because at that point, they're relying on external factors to control their internal stability, which becomes very difficult to do. Because as things change outside, you continue to try to maintain those changes. And unfortunately, sometimes life doesn't give you the resources to do that. And so now, as they say here in America, we have the most obese, especially in America, in the United States and in Michigan, we have one of the most obese societies ever in history. Because again, even if we started off, and our women started off wanting to beautify themselves, improve themselves, be better within themselves, again, if certain resources are not available because you relied on the external factors to define you, then when those things are not available, the internal stability that was required becomes compromised. So we have to build a strong foundation on God's word. And this is what I'm trying to lay out today, is to ensure that our women now recognize the importance of who they are from the inside out, not the outside in. It's not defined by the men you date. It's not defined by daddy-daughter issues. It's not defined by the conflict between mother and daughter. It's not defined by boyfriends or the girlfriends in school. It's not defined by that. It's defined by the design of God. He already had laid the foundation. In the interim, he had already made Adam and Eve to be the best they could be. And he made Eve to be perfect. For Adam, there was no requirement needed to alter. But again, because I remember I used to study with the Buddhists, and he used to say this, that wants and desire create pain and suffering. But I heard something so profound the other day when he said desires impede your discernment, your ability to know and be able to separate those things that are true of God. So this compromise you, this worldly concept compromise you. It compromises all. But this is why we have to get into the knowledge of God. This is why we have to study, show ourselves approved, to write and divide the word of truth. And the word of truth is God's word. We need this to build a stronger foundation. And we need to impart this on our young ladies. I have a daughter. I'm sure many people under the sound of my voice may have a daughter, a niece, an aunt, an uncle, an aunt or a cousin, or someone who of the female species, if you will, that requires altering, a transformation of the mind to know who they are from the inside out. And as I go forward, I'm going to bring about different individuals who overcame in the Bible. Because these people struggle with, I should say these young ladies struggle with, some issues of self-esteem as well because of the curse, because of the fall. But God, if he never leave us or forsake us, prepared them to become who they need to be. So in essence, today's women have to be very cautious more than ever as they strive to become who God intended to be. And I want to continue to point out that it's so important for women all over the world to start to look at the positive things that the word provides for them. Because this day and age, with so much negativity coming at you, the greatest thing you could turn to is God's word. Because the objective, if there's any great attribute to strive for, the objective is to be able to gain the attributes that was discussed in Proverbs 31. Because in the end, these are the words that you would like to hear, that he says in 28, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her, and many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. And so again, they're presenting those external things that are not stable. They're not rooted on anything. They're like a candle in the wind. When the wind comes, it's gone out. The light is out. So it's important that we build on these things because we, as females, as they build on these attributes, they say, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. See, as you build on who you are and know who you are from the inside out, not the outside in, and you start to build those attributes that build that self-esteem, no storm can move you. No man can deceive you. None of the challenges of your past can define you in your present and for your future. Because now you have your eyes focused on the prize. You have your eyes focused on Christ. You have your eyes focused on that which he says, that he's the way, the truth, and the life. And at that point, as you're building on this foundation, and as I said, I'm going to elaborate even more through the scriptures, through some examples from the word and from people who achieve great feats over the course of time, or if it will, females who agree to achieve great feats over time. Because there are a lot of women out here who are doing great things. And as I see as the society turns, I am a little concerned about our men falling behind and our women stepping up. But that's okay. Because one thing that I know is the woman that's the caregiver. She's the caretaker. And men have the skills too, but in most families, if all is well, the woman is the one rearing the children directly. And if she's strong, and I've heard many men, matter of fact, I was at my brother's anniversary service, and the pastor talked about his mother and the strength that she put in him. So if the woman is strong, the children can be strong, and then the next generation can be strong. But we have to get a strong foundation and build on it so that as women move forward to become who God intended for them to be, it won't be based on things such as status and position. It's not becoming Oprah. It's not becoming President Michelle Obama. It's becoming the best at who you are and who God defined you to be and who he designed you to be, and to know who you are when you look in the mirror. So when you look in the mirror, whatever you may appear to be, you'll love it because you know the beauty starts from within and this illuminating on the outside. And many people I've seen who society would not deem them as the runway model or the fashion model or whatever the case may be, but their beauty, their light was so amazing that their beauty just illuminated in such a way that they were the sun that brought things to the darkness. They illuminated that. They illuminated in such a way they eliminated that darkness because their beauty was from within. So this is important. This is essential. As again, I'd like to thank you. I wish everyone an amazing, amazing, amazing Christmas. And again, if anyone does not know Christ, this is the whole reason the word is going out, because it's important that we get to know Christ. And it's a simple, yet probably the most profound thing we can do. And in Romans 10:9, it says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, one would be saved. And again, salvation is not just your eternal home, it's your walk in this life. And you can be saved from the challenges. That don't mean you won't have them, but you'll be saved from the sting that it may try to bring you, because your confidence will be rooted on God. Your self-esteem will be rooted on God. Your self-worth will be rooted on God. So it's so important to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and at that point start to build upon his word to become the best you were intended to be and move forward to build your legacy, that it goes on and on and on, just like the woman of Proverbs 31 was described. This is almost 3,000 years ago, and her legacy lives on. That is the intention for God, for his women, his children, his female beautiful bride, the beautiful brides that we would have if we're fortunate enough as men to marry. This is important. This is essential. Again, I'd like to thank you again for joining the show, The Spirit of a Soldier. God bless you. Merry Christmas. And we will talk again next week.